Bibles. John chapter 15. One of my main goals this morning is, since last week I think I preached about two sermons in one, is to be short this morning. I'll try to be brief. My motto this morning is be like Cliff. John chapter 15, please. Let's stand as we read the scripture. Jesus, this is in the midst of a long section of Jesus' teaching. He says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. I almost entitled my message that morning with that phrase, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I want to focus this morning on this concept of the true vine, of what it means to abide in Christ. I've entitled this, The True Vine and True Disciples. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you bless this time. I pray that you'd use me this morning, guide my thoughts, guide my words. May you speak to your people through your Holy Spirit and through your word. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. I am not much of a gardener. I don't care to get down there in the dirt. I don't care to pull weeds, all that kind of stuff. I like to eat the food, you know, if it's a vegetable garden or something. I enjoy flowers. I enjoy looking at them. I enjoy smelling them. I enjoy taking pictures of them. But planting and caring for, watering and nurturing plants is not really my thing. But I grew up on a farm. Now, it was a dairy farm, so, you know, we planted wheat. We planted corn. But mainly, that was for the cattle. Getting feed for the cattle. We had hay fields, so we would work the fields, but that was with equipment. You know, we weren't out there hoeing the fields and stuff. But on the farm, right next to our house, we did have a big garden, and it was about the size of the basketball court here. So when I say big, it was a good-sized garden. But we were teenage boys. So especially early on when my grandpa Franz, he lived in Minnesota, he would come down in the spring and get the house and everything ready for summer, converting from winter to summer, taking off the storm windows and all of that. But one of the things he would do with us boys, me and my two younger brothers, is he would help us plant this garden. And so we would plant green beans and we would plant onions, and we'd plant cucumbers, and we'd have all these different plants, and we have nice little rows. The cucumbers are in hills, but the other things you plant in rows and things like that. He'd stretch a string across, and we'd till the ground, and we'd plant the seeds. And then our job, after he left, because they'd come down and stay for a week or two or something like that, we'd get all this work done. Our job then through the summer was just to watch it grow, right? No, we went off into the woods and played. That's what we did. But our job was supposed to be to water, and then as you water, what happens? The weeds grow. And boy, do the weeds grow. And our job was to keep the garden weeded so that those plants could grow. And, you know, sometimes we did a good job, and sometimes, well, we let it go a little long, and the weeds would be knee-high, waist-high, or whatever, until we get out there. And then, you try to grab those weeds, and, you know, you're reaching down, and you grab a handful of weeds, and you're trying to yank, and those weeds are so big. It was just a pain. But I'm not much of a gardener. My wife is not much of a green thumb either. She kills cactuses. You know, those don't even need water, but somehow she kills the cactuses. But I kind of understand how plants work. I kind of understand how things grow. And as we come to this text, Jesus uses an analogy that would have been extremely familiar to his disciples. Here he is in this passage. He's teaching his disciples. He's about ready to go to the cross. The next day he goes to the garden and they arrest him, and he's getting ready to go to the cross, and he's trying to give his disciples some teaching. So here he is teaching his disciples, and he uses this analogy of a grapevine. Now, Jesus had already, seven times in the book of John, the Gospel of John, Jesus has used an analogy of himself saying, I am something. He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the light of the world. He used, I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here we come to this, John chapter 15, this analogy, and he says, I am the true vine. Now, in an analogy, you need to ask yourself the question then, what is this comparison? How is this similar? How is Jesus like a true vine? How is he like a door? You know, you have to ask these questions. He's not made of wood or like a metal door or something like that. So you have to ask, what does this mean? What is the analogy? And so we have this image of grapevines. And of course, Jesus says, if we look at verse 5, he says very directly, I am the vine. So Jesus is the main, if you think about a grapevine, Jesus is that main vine that comes out of the ground that then branches out into all the different, in your mind, a grapevine, all the different branches branching out. And he is that main vine, but then we, his disciples, are the branches. So what does this analogy of the vine and the branches teach us? One big idea that I want to get across this morning is this. True Christianity, I'm going to use Christianity first, but I want to apply it to discipleship and disciples, and I'm going to talk about that in a second. But true Christianity is a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. The branches of the grapevine must be connected to that main vine. And as Christians, in true Christianity, in a true relationship with the living God, we must be connected with Him. So true Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a religion. It's not just religious activities. It's a personal relationship with the living God. It's not a Christianity is not just a good luck charm. Well, if I come to church on Sunday, then maybe he'll bless me a little bit through the week. It's not a fire insurance to get out of hell. That's not what Christianity is all about. That's not what this Christian life is all about. And I thank the Lord that my sins are forgiven, and part of that is there is no condemnation. And therefore, because of my sins being forgiven, because I have the righteousness of Christ, and when I stand before God, he's going to say, enter thou into my kingdom, as opposed to, I never knew you. But it's not simply fire insurance. Christianity is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, not just a nice Sunday activity that you do on Father's Day or Mother's Day or Christmas or whatever. By the same token, I am not trying to, when we think about Christian versus disciple, and I'm going to be using, from this point forward, using discipleship language and being a disciple, I am not trying to make a distinction between being a Christian and being a disciple. Because too many times in our minds, we think, well, I'm a Christian. You know, I'm fine. I go to church once a week. I put my money in the plate. I prayed a prayer when I was 10. I got dunked in the tank when I was 12. And I go to church once a week or once a month or whatever, and I'm good. But a disciple is somebody that's really serious about their Christian life, and they are at church every single time it's open. They serve. They do this. They do that. I am not trying to make that distinction. I don't think the Bible makes that distinction. A Christian is a disciple. What is a Christian? A Christian is a follower of Christ. What's a disciple? Someone who follows and learns from the teachings of Christ. So what's the difference? There is none. So I'm not trying to make that distinction. So I don't want anybody out there, well, okay, that sounds great, but I'm not really a disciple. I'm just a Christian. Well, that doesn't work. I want to talk to you this morning about four marks of true discipleship. Number one is this. True discipleship is a personal relationship, and I'm not going to necessarily say this every single time, but it's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that starts with salvation. It's like, duh, of course. That makes sense, doesn't it? But it has to start with salvation. This might seem obvious, but it does need to be stated and is clear in this passage. Look at verse 2 with me. Jesus says, every branch in me. He uses the phrase in me 6 times in this passage. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch, the idea is in me. It's not written in the text, but the idea, every branch in me that bears fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Look at verse 4. Jesus says, abide in me. And I and you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except that abide in the vine, which Jesus says, I am the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, here's another negative use. If he abides not in me, he's cast forth as a branch, is withered. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. So it has to begin with being in Christ. True discipleship is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that starts with salvation. You have to be connected to the vine. We have to be in Christ. And to be a true disciple of Christ and to live this Christian life in such a manner that that does what this passage talks about and that we're going to be talking about, that grows and is full of life and bears fruit and glorifies the Father, it has to start with salvation. There has to be a point in time in your life when you came to saving faith, when you recognized that you were a sinner, condemned by your sins, that the wages of your sins was death, but that Jesus Christ paid the penalty, paid the penalty for your sin, made the payment for it, satisfying God's wrath, and that when you turn in faith to Jesus Christ, He forgives you of your sin, He makes you His child, and that begins at salvation. So to be a disciple, you have to be connected to the vine. Look at verse 6, John 15, verse 6. If a man, Jesus says, abide not in me, so if you're not in Christ, if you're not connected to the vine, then what? He is cast forth as a branch and is withered. That branch, it's all dried up, it's withered, it's dead. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. This would have to be, in my mind, this would have to be those who are lost, those who are unsaved, those who are not connected to the vine. So for true discipleship to occur, there must be a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that starts with salvation, because Jesus is the source of life. Now, when I'm weeding the garden, you know, and you're pulling those weeds and you let them overgrow so that when you're grabbing a whole handful of weeds, what's the danger? You're going to be pulling the good plants out, breaking branches of the green plant, of the green bean plants, breaking different branches off, or pulling the whole thing out of the ground, and then it can't get nutrition, it can't get sustenance, can't grow, it'll dry up and die. But we must be connected to the vine. Jesus is the source of life. True discipleship is a relationship that starts with salvation. Number two, true discipleship is a relationship that grows through obedience. It grows, we grow through, we have to be connected to the vine, and then we grow through obedience. It's like, where do you get that from? Well, let's look through the text here, if you would, with me. Look at the word, notice the word abide. Abide occurs 9 times in this passage, starting in verse 4. Jesus says, abide in me. And I, the implied verb there is I abide in you. So you abide in me, I abide in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it what? It abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I, the verb is implied, abideth in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, here's the negative side of this, he's cast forth as a branch. Verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, shall be done unto you. Verse 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. We see in this passage abide occurring 9 times. The phrase abide in me and I in you occurs in verses 4, 5, and 7. So what does it mean to abide in Christ? Well, I think he gives us some ideas here. He doesn't leave us wondering. But let me give you a dictionary definition. What does the word abide mean? The first dictionary definition is this: to accept. And this actually surprised me, because I always thought of abide as dwelling, abide in, you know, you abide in your house, you dwell in your house, the word live, to live. So we need Christ. Okay, but that doesn't help us a whole lot. I need to dwell in Christ. Well, that's true. It does have that meaning, it has that connotation, but it still doesn't put meat on it for us as a Christian. I need to live in Christ. Okay. need to dwell in Christ. I need to abide in Christ. What does it mean in a practical sense? But here's the first dictionary definition of the word abide. Means to accept or act in accordance with. To accept or act in accordance with, such as a rule, a decision, or a recommendation. Let me give you an example. This past year, we had COVID this and COVID that, right? We had all these regulations. You had the CDC giving their guidelines. You had the health departments giving their guidelines. You had Dr. Fauci spouting out his mouth with his guidelines. And you had all these people. In the last year, as a school, what we tried to do is we tried to abide by the different regulations, right? We tried to abide by the health department guidance. So in that sense, the word abide means to follow, to obey, to accept, and to act in accordance with their guidelines. Look at verse 7, if you would, in your Bibles in chapter 15. We see that here in this passage. If ye abide in me, and notice this, my words abide in you. So there's more than just, oh, I'm going to live in Christ. I'm going to dwell in some esoteric kind of way. No, it's not just me saying, well, I love Jesus. Well, I went to church last week. No, it's that Jesus says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you. So there's something more going on here than just I love Jesus. His words are abiding in me. This right here, what you hold in your hands, is abiding in you. You're accepting it. You're acting on it. You're obeying it. You're following it. You're sticking to it. You're complying with his teachings. You're complying with his commands. That's the idea. It becomes very clear in verse 10. Look at verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. It can't get any clearer than that. So how is it that we abide in Christ? By keeping his commandments, by following his word, by accepting it, complying with it, living in accordance with his word. So that first dictionary definition makes a whole lot more sense. Now, the second dictionary definition helps us too. It says to continue without fading or being lost. So it's something that is continuing. It's abiding. It's a process. So we are keeping his word. It's a process. It's an ongoing thing. It's a, can I say this? A daily thing where I am going to be in his word, reading it, studying it, contemplating it, and obeying it. So it has the idea of accepting, living in accordance with, and continuing to do so, to remain, to last, to persist, and yes, to live or dwell. So we live, but it's not just, I live in Christ, I dwell in Christ. No, I live in his word, his commands. They consume me. That's what abide means. So what does this require? Three really practical suggestions on how we abide in Christ. This is going to require three things from you. The first thing, as teenage boys, we didn't like to do this. We didn't like to get into that garden. We didn't like to abide in that garden, pulling those weeds. We wanted to go out and play. We wanted to go play cops and robbers, you know. We wanted to go play in the creek, run through the woods. But it requires that you actually go into that garden and you take the time to weed the garden and to water and to do all the things necessary to help those plants grow and thrive. In the Christian life, discipleship with Christ, to abide in Christ requires time. You can't do it by just giving God, well, here's my 2 cents of showing up for church on Sunday. Giving God your pocket change, so to speak. It requires more than that. It requires time. It requires this. We've already been talking about this. It requires the scripture. We see that in verse 3. Every branch in me. Verse 3. That's verse 2. Now ye are clean. How? Through the word, which I have spoken unto you. So it requires time. It requires scripture. It requires, thirdly, silence and stillness. Be still and know that I am God. Requires time, it requires the scripture, and it requires stillness. John 8:31 says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. John 8:31. What does the word indeed mean? Truly. If we are going to be true disciples, that's what it takes. Continue in my word. The idea of abiding, continuing, remaining, acting according to his word. If ye continue my word, then are ye my disciples indeed or truly. So Jesus is the source for life. We must, first of all, you've got to be saved. You got to be connected to the vine. Secondly, it requires obedience to his word. Jesus is the source of life. He's the source for growth. He's the source that will help us to grow. You have to be connected to the vine. Just like any gardener knows, you know, that whether it's a grapevine is a perfect analogy. And if one vine is, for whatever reason, cut off from the main vine, it's not going to survive. It's not going to live. It's not going to grow. It's not going to produce fruit. Number three, true discipleship is a relationship that results in fruit. So if you start with salvation, you're connected to the vine, you're abiding in Christ, so you're getting the food necessary, you're remaining in his word, you're studying it, you're reading it, you're meditating on it, you're obeying it, you're applying it to your life, then the inevitable result is you will grow, you will bear fruit. So true discipleship is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that results in fruit. And in this passage, we see the phrase bear fruit 6 times. Let's look at them. Verse 2. Every branch in me, this is a negative sense, that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. I'm not going to talk much about that this morning, but if we are truly his disciple, and we're bearing fruit, he's going to purge us, which means sometimes painful things, testing and trials and discipline and chastisement and all those things. He's going to purge us. Why? We can bear more fruit. Verse 4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, in a negative sense, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, idea of bear fruit, you can't bear fruit except ye abide in me. Verse 5, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same does what? Bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. So true discipleship is a relationship that results in fruit, in bearing fruit. Well, what fruit is Jesus talking about? Let me just throw out several suggestions. Could be where you're bringing others to Christ. Inviting people to church, bringing others to Christ, evangelistic type of fruit. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Sheaves would be what you have gathered in the fields, right? In the harvest. And so one of the fruits that we might have, if we're abiding in Christ and we're connected with him and we're getting his power and his strength in our lives, and we're growing and we're bringing forth fruit, some of that fruit might be bringing other people to Christ. It might be personal growth. We've already talked about that a little bit. Personal growth in our relationship with Christ, in our Christian life. 2 Peter 1, verse 5 says, beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and add to knowledge, add temperance, and to temperance, add patience. To patience, add godliness. To godliness, add brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, add charity. And then he says in verse 8, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the fruit might be personal growth, adding these things that Peter talks about, adding to your faith virtue, knowledge. Here's a third idea. Maybe it's the fruit of the spirits. As Paul says in Galatians 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. So if you're a true disciple, some of these fruits of the spirit, I think, ought to be evidenced in your life. You ought to be characterized by love, characterized by joy, characterized by peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith, meekness and self-control, temperance. If those things don't characterize you, if you don't have these fruits in your life, then something's wrong. Now, not all of us are going to have all the exact same fruit or in all the same amounts of some of those fruits. Some of us have a little more, bit more joy than other people. Cliff is a little more high-strung than I am. But then I might have a little more patience than he does. I don't know. He's probably a pretty patient fella. I have no idea. But gentleness, you know, so we're not necessarily going to have all these equally, but these should be evidence in our lives if we're bearing fruit, if we're true disciples. I want you to notice something else in verse 4. Jesus says, and now that we understand what it means to abide in me and I in you, he's talking about his commands, his words, and living in accordance with them and obeying them. Abide in me, I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except ye abide in me. We cannot bear fruit by ourselves. We've got to go to the Lord and trust him and his power and his strength and his ability to give us what we need, to do what we need to do, to bear the fruit, to grow. And it can be tough sometimes and painful, as I mentioned earlier with that purging. But we cannot bear fruit by ourselves. And in verse 5, he says, without Christ, I can do nothing. I am the vine, ye are the branches, Jesus says in verse 5. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But without me, ye can do nothing. So without Christ, I can do nothing. But Paul says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So we've got to be connected to the vine. And we've got to take our strength and our sustenance from him. How do we do that? How do we abide in him? His word. And when we neglect it, we start to dry up. We don't grow. We don't bear the fruit that we should be bearing. We've got to abide in him. That's what true discipleship is. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Starts with salvation, and it continues with that growth. And then we bear fruit. Jesus is the source of our life. He's the source of our strength. He is the source of our growth. He's the source of our fruitfulness. He is the source of everything. Without him, we can do nothing. But through him, we can do everything. No, not jump the Sears Tower. Number 4. Anything that he wants us to do that's in line with his word and his commands, we can do. Verse number 4. True discipleship is a relationship that, lastly, and I'm going to end with this, it glorifies the Father. When we bear fruit, way to go, Pastor Kowak, you did such a wonderful job. No, That's not how it works. It glorifies him. When we bear fruit, and we see that fruit in our lives in the terms of other people coming to Christ, and personal growth, and the fruits of a spirit that are exhibited to others, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, the glory then goes to him. It's not me. Not me, not me, not me, oh Lord. How's that song go? But when I obey, when I follow Christ, when I abide in him, and I remain in his word in a continuing way, day after day after day after day, it brings forth fruit in my life that ultimately glorifies him. Look at verse 1. It started out, Jesus starts out with, I am the true vine. The image is a grapevine. And he says, my Father is the husbandman. He's the caretaker. He's the owner. He's the guy who owns the vineyard. He's the husbandman. And when I do what I need to do in abiding with Christ, obeying his word, and it brings forth fruit in my life and the lives of others, then the husbandman of the vineyard, the farmer, is glorified. He is pleased. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified. How? That ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Jesus is the source of our fulfillment and accomplishing our ultimate purpose of glorifying the Father. And we find fulfillment in our lives when he's glorified. But we must abide in Christ, which means being connected with him in salvation, abiding in his word by obeying his commands, bearing fruit, which he produces. We don't produce it ourselves. He does it in response to our obedience. And then the husbandman will be pleased. So shall ye be my disciples. And I encourage all of us, let's be true disciples of Jesus Christ, because we're the branches, he is the vine. We've got to be connected with him. Let's be true disciples of him. Father, we thank